Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, as we heard earlier in the programme, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has warned we are at climate crunch point, saying we're playing Russian roulette with our planet, and has called on all countries to ban advertising from coal, oil and gas companies, calling them godfathers of climate chaos, who had distorted the truth and deceived the public for decades. We're joined now by Chair of the Climate Change Advisory Council, Mary Donnelly, and by Dr. Jeirma Torney, who's Associate Professor in the School of Law and Government at Dublin City University, and whose research focuses on climate change policy and governance. And you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Mary, I'll come to yourself first, and really a very hard-hitting speech from Antonio Guterres. Would you agree with his call, for example, to ban advertising from coal, oil and gas companies?
Well, it's certainly consistent with the position that the Council has been taking over the last number of years. Our key message is that Ireland needs to reduce and indeed eliminate the use of fossil fuels in transport, in heating and in electricity. And we're fortunate in Ireland that we have the alternatives, the technological possibilities as well as the climate possibilities to have alternatives. And that needs to be our very focused target in Ireland.
So would it be a good start then or a good addition to put a ban on advertising for those sorts of companies?
Indeed, the advertising and the promotion of anything that consumes fossil fuels goes against the very philosophy and indeed the letter of the legislation, one would argue, in the Climate Act that has been adopted here in Ireland. So anything that would reduce the usage of fossil fuels is something that the Council would support.
I suppose on the flip side of that, some of those companies might say, well, hold on a second, a lot of people are using our product and will continue to be using our product for quite a number of years yet. So why aren't we allowed to advertise it?
Well, just one of the cases there. Firstly, using fossil fuels is what we do today. But for virtually every case where we use fossil fuels, we already have technologies available that will allow us to do it in a decarbonized way. Now, sometimes the technologies are a bit expensive, and that's why we are urging the government to bridge that financial gap so that people can make the choice to not use fossil fuels and use alternatives.
Do you mean like solar panels, is it?
Well, yeah, I mean like heat pumps, just to advertise before we came on, using heat pumps instead of oil to heat your home. Heat pumps are decarbonized. They don't use fossil fuels. They're a little bit more expensive, but we have quite good grants and we're urging the government to even increase the grants so that people can make that choice and make it before their fossil fuel boiler breaks so that they're not going to be in a crisis 2 days before Christmas.
Is it not a big job to get a heat pump into your house, though?
No, and that's the other myth that we really feel is very important to get across. You can put a heat pump into pretty much any house. Of course, the better insulated houses will need less effort because, of course, they can retain the heat. But even in other houses, you can still use it. It'll cost a little bit more because maybe your insulation isn't up to speed. But if you have a possibility to introduce it, it is definitely the way to go.
And when you say it's a little bit more expensive...
Well, it will depend, obviously, on the size of the house and how much heating you run. And also, I'll be quite honest, if you have an F or a G BER rating, then you really have to put the money into insulation before you put it into your heat pump.
This is the problem then, isn't it? So then you start getting into the big job very quickly, don't you? Because then you're down to insulation, you're down to changing the radiators, you're down to changing the entire heat system. And now it's not just changing the heat pump.
No. But that's exactly the message, I think, that really we need to get across. Yes, insulation. In fact, insulation is very cheap. It's the cheapest option that we should all use as immediately. Our roof especially, because
Mary, I'll interrupt you for a second. The attic insulation, we know attic insulation can be, and there are very good grants for that, you know, that can be a relatively quick and painless operation. But other sorts of insulation aren't cheap, are they? The wrapping or the filling of the walls, you know, they're big jobs that are really expensive.
They are more expensive, and that's why you get the grants from the government through the SEAI. But it's in the end of the day, one of the questions I think we have to ask ourselves is, you know, one, do we want to use fossil fuels? Because that's basically killing the earth that we live in. But equally, all of us want to live in warm, dry, not damp, drafty homes. So this is an area of priority. It's in our own best interest to do it. And that's one of the reasons why we're very supportive of the retrofit grants, but also the grants for changing the heating systems. And in fact, one of the things, if I may, they've actually changed the rules now to get the funding for the grants for the heat pump. And they've made it much easier. If your house was built after 2007, you don't even have to do an assessment in advance.
I want to bring in Jim Attorney in just a second, but just before we move off that point of retrofitting and grants and all of that, one of the themes we've seen even over the last couple of weeks with the various different elections that are going on are people saying, you know, there's not enough grants when it comes to retrofitting. Like, do you think the grants need to go further?
Yes, indeed, we do. And one of the things that we're looking at, and we'll be coming out with a specific report on the built environment in a couple of weeks, but one area we're concerned about is the gap, shall we say, okay, for social housing, very important to get that done. You have the grants for people who can, as you say, afford to do it, but there is a group in the middle that are squeezed. Mm. And we really do feel that that's an area that needs to be targeted more by government grants.
Okay. Dr. Jim Attorney, as I said, is also on the line. And, you know, we have Antonio Guterres on the one hand, Jim, talking about, you know, this is a moment in time for humanity that we all need to, take stock. And then we have this EPA report last week showing that Ireland's on track to miss all of our targets dramatically. So how do you start reconciling these two realities?
Good evening, Sarah. Well, I think we could hear in the clip on the news bulletin there the increasing sense of exasperation in Antonio Guterres's voice. And in a way, he's running out of superlatives to describe the crisis situation that we're in. And, you know, that message shouldn't be taken lightly. You're right that the recent EPA projections showed that we're not on track to meet the targets established under the climate law, and in fact there were two sets of scenarios set out in the in those projections. The more optimistic one, which I think got a lot of the coverage, was a 29% reduction relative to a 51% target set out in the carbon budgets. But actually, the other scenario is in a way the more plausible one. That's assuming that we implement all the existing policies we have, and that showed only an 11% reduction. So there really is quite a large gap between what the government has currently committed to and what we've pledged in law.
So what needs to change? How do we get people on board with what needs to happen? Because there seems to be, certainly across Europe, a backlash, and we'll see after the European elections which direction that goes. But there does seem to be, you know, a move against the move towards green in Europe. And we're seeing some of that in Ireland too.
We are. So I think there is a danger that we end up pushing all of this onto the individual. And we say that, you know, people should fly less or eat less meat. And those kinds of messages have a role and are certainly valid. But people are constrained in the systems in which they live. And I think we need to, and government needs to provide the frameworks. And what Mary was talking about a minute ago around, you know, retrofitting is one example of that. Government needs to step up more and provide an enabling environment for individuals to take the actions they need to, and to bring people along the journey. And I don't think it's helpful, for example, that if we look at the agriculture sector, that there was previously in the 2023 Climate Action Plan a commitment for a voluntary scheme that would reward farmers for reducing their herd size. That the Minister for Agriculture removed that from the most recent Climate Action Plan. So the government really isn't giving a strong and consistent message to society.
Well, indeed, we hear from a lot of the political parties that they don't believe there's any need to reduce the herd at all, the agricultural herd. But at the same time, you'll hear from government parties that they're doing an awful lot when it comes to retrofitting, and that they've introduced a very ambitious retrofitting plan and nothing like we've ever seen before.
Well, I mean, both of those things can be true at the same time. And it comes back to the fact that we're starting from such a low base. You know, the reason that our targets are so ambitious, so onerous, is that for a very long time, successive Irish governments of varying political stripes did almost nothing to reduce emissions. And in fact, emissions went in the wrong direction. So really, the reason why the ask is so big right now is because we've done so little for so long, and we're starting from a very low base. And that means that it can be true at the same time to say that we're doing more than we've ever done before, but also that we need to do a lot more.
Mary, would you be concerned about the climate backlash that I was talking to Diarmaid about there? Because even we were speaking to some of our reporters here in Drive Time a little earlier on about what they're hearing from voters out and about in advance of the elections on Friday. And one of the things they're talking about is how voters are seeing climate change policies being enacted around them, and it's really annoying them. You know, that the roads are getting narrower because there's cycle lanes in, for example, and buses can't pass each other, or whatever that might be, that they can't drive their cars here, there, or whatever, that actually people are getting irritated by some of the advances. Now, I know that's not true for a lot of people. A lot of cyclists will welcome those measures. But, you know, this sense that some people are just really annoyed by what's going on.
Well, just to go back to the point that Guterres mentioned in his publication, our target here is to reduce the use of fossil fuels. And transport is our biggest consumer of fossil fuels in Ireland. So whatever we can do to reduce the consumption of fossil fuels in transport is a good thing. Now, one of the analyses that we've done is that, you know, 20% of our journeys are less than 2 kilometres, and yet 70% of people will use a car to do that. So part of our challenge is to ensure that we can live and operate in a locality that has the services available to us without having to be dependent on a car. Mm. So we can walk, we can cycle, we can take a bus. And yes, the government needs to do more in terms of the infrastructure. You're quite right. Infrastructure takes time. Infrastructure is very disruptive. But when you think about it, for equity in society, we currently have very large road spaces with very small footpaths, and yet the road space is a car with one person, and the footpath has all of the pedestrians, prams, and other people on the side. So it's just a reallocation to people of road space is one of the key things that's happening, but it takes time.
Do you think there is an absence of honesty in the conversation that we've been having up to now when it comes to climate? If we're talking about, for example, the issue of transport and how we should all be getting out of our cars and using more public transport or going on foot or whatever. And the honesty that I'm talking about there is that actually, if you want to be more climate conscious, your life is going to be less convenient. You're going to get things done at a slower pace. You're going to be waiting 20 minutes for the bus rather than getting there in 15 minutes in a car. You know, that's just the reality of life under our new future. Because I don't hear that said by anybody, but I do think that it looks to me like that is the reality.
Well, certainly transport as we have known it will not be the case going forward. This idea of the number of cars, look at what's on the M50 every day, the congestion that's there, the time that people spend in their cars. You know, these kind of things can't continue. Economically, it doesn't make sense. From an air quality point of view, it doesn't make sense. People sitting, wasting an hour every day in traffic jams, these things don't make sense. We have to have a better way of organising things like that. And in terms of delivery, yes, the government has to take leadership. They have to produce the infrastructure which allows the alternatives and people can make the choice. They have to also ensure that the public transport system is sufficient and it is efficient and that we can do it and it's cost effective. And for example, one of the things the council has been pushing very hard is transport to school. Yeah. You know, the congestion coming from parents who feel they have to drive their children to school, we all know what that's like, you know, 20 to 9 in the morning. We need to have a better way of ensuring that children can get to school safely.
Well, just final word to yourself, Diarmaid, than all of that, because, you know, it's very easy in a way to blame politicians for not showing the leadership, but the politicians are giving the people what they want, or what they think they want, at least, you know, and the people are often saying, we want more roads, we want better roads, we want our motorway, we want our ring road.
Well, actually, there was a really interesting piece of work done recently published by an organization called Purpose Disruptors, where they asked a representative sample of people around Ireland what kind of future they would like to see. And the message that came back very strongly was that basically people feel trapped in a rat race, and that what people actually want is, according to that research, is more connection to self, more connection to others, and more connection to nature. And so I think there's a sense in which we're all trapped in the systems that we know, but actually a better world with less congestion, with more access to green space is there before us. But perhaps people need better communication from government and from others to be shown that better and more positive future that can go hand in hand with meeting our climate targets.
I'm very interested to hear from our listeners on this to 51551. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's Mary Donnelly and Dermot Torney.